You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are talking through another exploration and mastery theme, and that is failure theme. So obviously kind of antithetical to what we talked about last week, which was mastery. So now we're kind of going on the polar opposite end of the spectrum and we're doing failure. And these often are linked and we will sometimes see them in succession. And then sometimes failure play is completely independent. So we'll dive into what that looks like, but definitely interesting to juxtapose the mastery and competence from last week with the failure this week. So in mastery play, there are times when kids are not capable of doing what they're trying to do. So that is truly a capacity issue. Then there are some times when a child wants to but gives up and chooses not to. And then there are times when a child will not even try because they feel so incapable and inadequate that it would just be a reflection of them being bad or a failure, and so they won't do it. But what will often happen is early on, especially in the process, we will see kids start to work on mastery play, and then they will just stop and move on to something else. So it's important to recognize what's happening there and how we categorize that. So obviously, let's talk about the proverbial elephant in the room. If this is a learned helplessness issue, then that is its own distinct piece of this failure play, right? So when a child is used to everyone doing something for them, and or they just wait and someone will step in and solve their problems, they have a sense of learned helplessness. So it's not that they are not capable of doing it, they just don't because they never have to. So that is one small portion of this. But then you also have kids that literally are trying to do something and they can't. So, you know, you have a three-year-old that's trying to snap pieces of a marble track together, and he's just literally not big and strong enough to push hard enough to get it to click. So that is failure, but it is not because it's willful. It's because it's actually developmentally and just an age appropriateness issue. And if you have a child that gets really easily frustrated, really easily discouraged, they will typically respond in their failure theme with, I can't do it, or it's too hard, you have to help me, I don't know how, I can't. And so those verbalizations typically go with that failure play. And that can be the easily frustrated, that can be the learned helplessness, that can be the incapacity because it's just too difficult for them. All of that comes, those verbalizations come with all of those subsets. So what are the potential meanings to the child? So obviously this is rooted in a self-esteem root. So if the child is struggling with low self-esteem, they will almost always have very low expectations. And so they believe that it's not worth their time and effort. It's too hard. They just would rather not do it at all than to try and fail. And again, let's go back to mastery play last week. You know, sometimes if they're intentionally failing, it's to show you the other side of themselves, like the bad failure side. I'm air quoting bad. No kid is ever bad, but for good versus bad in a child's brain, which those cannot coexist, right? So I'm either good or bad. And therefore, if I fail, it makes me bad and a failure. So in that mastery context, that's how they actually show us that other side. Well, when they feel inadequate and incapable because of low self-esteem, it makes them feel bad. And so you can see why they would be avoidant and why they would be resistant to persevering and trying, right? So self-esteem is always at the root of the failure play. And also, if there are any kind of developmental issues, if there are any kind of physiological root causes, that can also influence failure play. because they have a history of not being able to do things. You'll see this in kids that were born prematurely. You'll see this with kids that have congenital or developmental delays or issues. You'll see this in kids that have gone through any kind of medical procedures. So they, you know, have chronic illness, or they've had lots of surgeries, or any kind of medical trauma or medical extensive background. You will see that everyone has always kind of stepped in and filled the role of doing things for them. And they have a history of failure, either because they were truly sick or incapable of doing it, or because they would try and someone would immediately step in. So that becomes a pattern of behavior. And sometimes you will see that kind of play emerge with kids in that kind of scenario. And then finally, if a child is very nurturing needy, safety needy, caregiving needy, they will sometimes fail on purpose so that the therapist will help. And not that we help, because that's not the child-centered way, but they are trying to elicit the help. And they think, well, if I fail, if I can't do this, if I give up, if I show that I'm not capable, then the therapist will help. And so it's kind of maladaptive approach to having therapists intervene and help. And they have to demonstrate failure first in their mind so that it warrants us stepping in and helping. So that is failure play. And again, last week was mastery. So you see how those work in conjunction with each other. And then obviously, you know, rooted in self-esteem for both. So it's helpful to not only recognize the theme, but also the root. And so as I document themes, I will often also write self-esteem next to whatever of these themes I'm observing, because, you know, that helps us to articulate to parents what is going on. So the child is working on self-esteem through these themes, and this is what that looks like. There's kind of three stages to that discussion. And so if we understand the root of the theme, that is also helpful as we're learning what the themes are. So self-esteem, root, mastery and failure theme, and then, you know, how that manifests itself. Those are all things that we would discuss with parents. So there you go. And we only have, I can't believe it, 4 themes left to cover. So by really first couple weeks of January, we will be wrapped up with our theme section of this curriculum. So that's very exciting. Do not forget, you can get registered for the CEU's childcenteredtraining.com, and it will forward you to the registration page. That is in January. So you've got about a month or so, and I'm really looking forward to that. Don't wait, because seats are limited and they're running early bird pricing. So don't spend more than you have to. If you wait till last minute, you're going to spend more money. And I like being able to spend money on things that I enjoy rather than spending more than I needed to on something. So just a little PSA to you all. I'm very grateful for each and every one of you. Thank you for this year. This is actually the week after Christmas, just past Christmas. And this has been such an amazing year. I'm so grateful for you all. And it's really crazy. 2024 is literally around the corner. And this is just one of the greatest gifts of this year to me, one of the greatest gifts of my career. I was actually just talking with my husband about that this last week, that I would have never thought that this would be the direction that my career has taken. And this is one of the most fulfilling and rewarding pieces of my career. And I'm so grateful that you all have come alongside and really supported this podcast and been engaged. And, you know, there's a passion that we all have for kids, and there's a passion that we have for play therapy, a deeper passion for child-centered play therapy. But I feel that. Your support of this podcast, your emails, the things that you've said and the way that you've connected and the questions that you ask, it's just one of the most exciting blessings of my career, especially of this year. This was the first full year that I've been doing this podcast. So as always, I'm very grateful for you. I don't say that lightly, and I hope that you don't get sick of hearing it, because it's true. And I will keep saying it either way. So sorry if you're sick of it. But anyway, love y'all. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.